Hey everyone, another disclaimer at the beginning of this week's episode. This was another one of the episodes where I was sick on. I recorded two in a row with Casey that same day. This is Wireland 2, if you couldn't tell by the title, and you'll hear it once again when I start the episode. I'm clearly feeling a lot better today, but once again, I'm putting this in the front, one, because I sound clearly very different now than I did at the time of the recording. Number two, this was recorded before I became partners with the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to fundraise and provide video games for children receiving inpatient care at children's hospitals. You can check out their webpage at bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating if you can. And finally, number three, I recently was on the YouTube channel Firespin Gaming. You can check it out, Firespin Gaming on YouTube. I actually recorded in a couple episodes with, his name is also Josh from Firespin Gaming. You can check out the episode now on his YouTube channel. If you go there, you will hear the audio of that after Mario Month, maybe a couple weeks after, because there is one episode in between the end of Mario Month. So there's one episode right after the end of Mario Month, and then the episode I recorded with him for that podcast you can find on YouTube will be released the episode after that. So, yeah, and that's all for the intro to the show. I hope you're all doing well. If any of you are quarantined, I wish you well. I hope everyone is doing the best they can for considering the situation once again with the coronavirus. And that should do it. Thank you all once again, and enjoy the episode. On this episode of Still Loading, wah, ha, 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 ha.
That was awesome.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. This is unprecedented. This is not the last week of Mario Month for the first time ever. In the last two Mario Months, we've had four episodes. This month, we actually are getting five because there is five Sundays in the month of March. A little crazy, but a lot of content for all you guys. So there's one more episode after this. And as usual, Casey is here to join me to talk about this next episode, this next game in the Wario Land series. Casey, how are you doing? I'll take that as a good, So we are talking about the game Wario Land 2 today. And Wario Land 2, I think we mentioned in the last episode, it is our favorite game in the Wario Land series.
That's true.
Though, to be fair, I have not played 3 or 4. Because I did try actually 3 on an emulator, and the input delay was so unbearable, I couldn't deal with it. So I'll get around to it, though. But no, I'm doing a lot of research for Wario Land 3, so don't worry, everybody. Who knows? There's going to be a break in between us recording this and our Wario Land 3 episode, like a couple of days. So if I can find a copy of it, maybe we'll go from there. But anyway, so Wario Land 2 came out in Japan on October 21st, 1998. I put 1988 originally, which doesn't make any sense. Interestingly enough, it came out in North America before then on March 9th, 1998.
For the original Game Boy.
Game Boy. The Game Boy Color release of this game was February 10th, 1999. So almost a full year after the original North American release on the Game Boy. But that's odd, because a lot of times, especially for Japanese-developed and specifically Nintendo-developed games, you don't always see the games being released in North America before Japan. And if so, definitely not 7 months beforehand. Like, that's a crazy long gap. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever, like, I mean, I don't know how often you pay attention to release dates at all, Casey, but do you know of anything that far of a distance?
No, and I've also noticed, too, that back in the day, like around 90s, early 2000s, that was the norm. You know, mm-hmm. They were released in Japan first, but I've also noticed today, even games developed and published in Japan, they would come out in North America first. And I never understood what that was. I think
the PS4 came out in North America beforehand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it is kind of odd that it happened that way. But, you know, so Wario Land 2 was interesting because while it wasn't a departure in terms of style from Wario Land 1, they did... It is a truly iterative experience where they took everything from the first Wario Land game and they changed it up. They made it just a little bit different and in all the best ways, in my opinion. I actually really like what they did in this game a lot. You were saying that this is your favorite Wario Land game. What makes it your favorite Wario Land game?
I don't know. There's just something about it. I feel like this game was a little bit more fluid, not to say that the first one wasn't, mm-hmm. but I just really liked the controls. I really liked how the imagery looked.
The graphics are beautiful in this game. I like the art for the sun specifically, exactly. How it's kind of got that red and yellow swirl going mm-hmm. on. I really enjoy that a lot.
Really enjoyed the music also. I noticed too, like you can't die in this game, I don't believe.
I don't think so either. I mean, in general, the Wario Land games, they made it so it was very difficult for you to die, if at all.
Right.
I don't think you can die. You just lose your coins, which is the greatest crime for Wario, is because you lose your treasure. He'd rather die than lose his treasure. So losing coins is actually a big thing. And plus, you use coins to do a lot of things, like you did in the first Wario Land game where you would use coins to... buy your way out of places. You would kind of do similar stuff with this, specifically in like the mini games and stuff like that, I believe. Yeah, because at the end of each level, there's mini games that require you to spend money in order to get like little puzzle pieces and stuff like that. So yeah, and this game also was the first one to introduce at the very end. You have It shows like a path system. It shows all the different alternative endings you could have gotten, and it tells you which levels branch out. So a perfect example, in the normal game playthrough, so essentially Wario's asleep in his castle. Let's talk about the plot, then we can jump into this.
Yeah.
The story begins at Wario's castle, and he's fast asleep in bed. And a bunch of pirates comes up. They're the pirate gooms, as they call them. They're loyal minions of Captain Syrup. So Captain Syrup's back. She's pissed because you stole her stuff from last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Captain Syrup and the members of the Black Sugar Gang. What a weird name.
I know they were going to be originally called the Brown Sugar Gang. No, what was it they were originally going to be called? I just read it. This is where the brown sugar pirates have hidden many treasures and coins, including a golden statue of Princess Peach. So that was the plot in the original Mario or Wario Land. So it says to recover his treasure from Captain Syrup and her Black Sugar Gang, formerly the Brown Sugar Pirates. So they changed the name.
Okay.
In this game, yeah.
So that's an odd choice. But yeah, so. She wants to recover her treasure from Wario, and they infiltrate his castle. They steal his treasures, which he collected during his early adventures, i.e. Wario Land 1. To distract Wario and prevent him from chasing them, the pirates cause havoc in the castle by turning on a giant faucet, abandoning a vicious snake in his cellar, and installing an oversized alarm clock. Man, these pirates, they're comical in their ways to distract him, an oversized alarm clock. Wario eventually wakes up by the alarm clock's commotion and then sets off to pursue the thieves, but not before rectifying the state of things in his home. So that's how that's pretty much the entirety of the first world. The first five levels are Wario fixing things around his castle, turning off the giant faucet, turning off the alarm, getting the snake out of his basement. There's a snake in my basement. I wonder if that's a Toy Story reference. This came out in 98. Toy Story came out in 96. I doubt it. Once again, like last episode, I mentioned the Terminator 2 reference and like making the villains the good guys, but yeah, you never know. So what's interesting about this first level is that I don't know if you did this at all, Casey. I was actually tinkering around with it on my playthrough after I beat it. I beat it one way through the normal way, right? If you just stay asleep, don't move in that first level after when the alarm's going off, then you beat the level.
I've never done that.
And what happens is that branches off on a different path.
Mm.
So what happens is all the enemies are, the enemies come and see that Wario hasn't woken up yet, and they forcibly toss him out of the castle, change it over to their castle, and then he has to go reclaim his castle. And then it's only 5 or 6 levels, and the game ends after you reclaim your castle.
Really?
So you can actually beat the game in like 5 stages.
No, I never knew about that. Gives me another reason to do another playthrough.
Well, like looking on the wiki right now, there is a lot. There's at least 4 alternate endings, not counting the 5th regular ending.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool is like I'm showing it to you right now, but you can see all the branching paths.
Yeah.
So they tell you like which levels you need to play in order to get onto these branching paths. So like this game has a lot of replayability, and that's a theme that they definitely had in the first game. Like we mentioned, like you would want to replay it so you could get more treasure, so that way you could get a better house at the end of Wario Land 1. And in this one, they encourage you to do that as well as replay it because there's new levels. There's hidden places that you have not seen yet. And they make it very clear for how to get there to it, or at least they make it very clear where the branching paths are located, not necessarily how you unlock them, because there's hidden exits in those levels, which is really cool. I really like that there's these hidden areas that you just didn't know that you could get to. I think that's a really good idea that I really wish more games would do. At the same time, I also hate it because I'm not a completionist, but it always bothers me. I'm like, man, I have to play through this game again just to see more stuff.
I know.
But like, that is such a stupid complaint. Like, that is, they literally just gave you more game for free.
Yeah.
It's I've mentioned it before, and it's a point that was mentioned in the Retronauts podcast before, but the idea of gameplay that gives you the reward for the gameplay is more gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So they mention it in the Super Mario World episode where there's this feedback loop where when you, on Retronauts they mentioned it, where when you are playing the game and you explore a level, when you get a secret exit, your reward for exploring that level to its fullest and getting the secret level and finding the secret exit is more game. You find more parts of the game that you didn't know about beforehand. It's the same with this, but it's interesting because it lets you go back and there's a lot more content that for you to explore. And it tells you, like, once you beat the game, they give you the outline of the full map so you can see where you missed.
Right.
Where you went, not where you went wrong, but where you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I thought that was the biggest departure for me in terms of the difference between Mario Land, or actually, sorry, that's not the biggest part. That's one of the most notable differences, is just the branching paths and stuff like that. And I maybe Wario Land 1 had it. I didn't see it in my research. Like, well, there's like branching paths in that, but I wouldn't say it's nearly as pronounced, I should say. Are there any levels that stuck out to you that you remember? Like you said, this is your favorite game in the series, in the Wario Land series, but is there any that stuck out to you or any secret levels that you remember?
Honestly, no. I just remember liking the one level where you're running up rooftops and you have the cats trying to throw the
You like that level?
The pots on
you.
Oh,
yeah. I hated that level. You hated that level? So hard.
I like that level.
One thing I will say that this game does, or one of the things I like that this game does with its boss fights, is that, and I noticed this also in Wario Land 3 when I was doing some research on it, there's a boss in this game that the way to beat them is by being better at a sport than they are. There is, in this game, there is a boss. I forget the name of the boss. Let me see if I can look it up real quick. But there is a boss that when you fight it, you have to beat it in basketball, essentially. And you have to hit the boss so it rolls up into a ball. And then that way, once it rolls up into a ball, yeah, Dunk is the name of the boss. It's an anthropomorphic bunny that is proficient in ball games. Wario engages him in a match of basketball. He can turn Wario into a ball and slam dunk him. And then vice versa.
I remember that, yeah.
If you hit him, then you take him, and then you slam dunk him. And the objective is to slam dunk him three times versus the other one, versus you. So, yeah. And one thing I also really liked is that the punishment for this game, like if you were bad at a boss, what, like you said, it didn't kill you, but it would push you a couple areas outside of the boss room, so you'd have to fight your way back to the boss, and it became more obnoxious than anything. Almost like, it reminded me a little bit of Ninja Gaiden.
You know what
I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
How like when you get to the, when you lose at a boss in Ninja Gaiden, you have to go back to the beginning of the not the stage, but the level. So there's, I think in Ninja Gaiden, there's three levels to a stage.
Yep.
And you'd have to go back to level three, with the exception of the final boss, where you would have to go back to the beginning of the entire stage and play the three hardest levels of the game over again.
The worst.
The punishment for death, while it wasn't actually like game over, you lost all your lives, and you would have to go back to the beginning of the game, you would have to go back to the hardest part of the game and replay it. So there is a punishment, and it is obnoxious. There was one boss I was stuck on in Wario Land 2 that made me so mad. And it like it makes, like when it hits you, I think it might have been, there's like a B boss.
Yeah.
And it, when it pokes you, it inflates Wario and he flies up to
That's
the
right.
ceiling.
Yep.
And then it flies up and then you're stuck up there and you have to run out, run back down and to go around a whole loop just to get back to the B boss again.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking hated that.
I remember that.
So
that was,
much.
That was bad.
And I don't even think it's bad game design. I was
no,
just
it's
bad
just,
at
it's
it.
A pain.
It's just a pain in the
pain
ass.
Pain in the ass, yeah.
And the bosses in this game, I talked a lot about them. And I think they shine just like they do in the first one. You have a giant snake, which is abandoned in the basement of Wario's castle. It attacks by biting and it can turn Wario into an egg. You fight Bobo again like you did in the first game. He was the guard of the SST Cup. And he attacks with dives, yeah. Then there's the giant bee, there's Dunk, there's the Cave Master, which is a bulky pig-like creature that attacks by shoving Wario around and tries to kick him out of the battlefield. You have, oh, this is going to be hard to read, the big Kamu Kamu, a fish that lives in the flooded ruins of an ancient civilization, will try to devour Wario. A Wabo, which is an inflated enemy who captured Captain Syrup. What? An inflated enemy who captured Captain Syrup. I don't think I fought a Wabo.
I don't think
I
have either.
You fight a ghost. You do fight Captain Syrup, the main antagonist of the game, who stole Wario's treasure. She can be battled many times in different crafts during the game because, like we said, there's different endings. You have the Mecha Curry, which is a massive robotic foe controlled by Captain Syrup. I remember that fight. And the Giant Spearman. I don't remember this. Oh, it's a persistent boss who appears in many levels of the game, but is also the boss of the actual final stage. I don't remember that, actually.
I don't either. Yeah, some of these are ringing a bell.
I would say like the biggest difference, though, that I found in this game is that the way that your power-ups work. So in the first Wario Land game, you got your power-ups through, you know, different hats, the different helms, you know, the bull helmet, the dragon helmet, the jet helmet, stuff like that. In this game, I actually find it a lot more creative. Wario gets abilities through enemies' attacks. You have to allow an enemy to hit you in order to get different things. And there's a lot of different options. There is Bouncy Wario, where he turns into a spring. There's Bubble Wario, which that's obnoxious too, because there's certain enemies that will, like you get trapped in a bubble and it'll make you float up, so then you have to refight your way back down like this awful step ladder maze of a screen. Crazy Wario is clearly just drunk Wario.
I like how the music
it's like
changes.
Yep. That's not exactly, but it's that kind of goofy like
bum
bum bum bum. You have Fat Wario, you have Flat Wario, there's Fat and Flat, there's also Tiny Wario, there's also Frozen Wario, there's also Puffy Wario, there's Hot Wario, and there's Zombie Wario, and each have different abilities. Zombie Wario, I remember, is one of my favorites because he can, like, melt through floors, like, thin, if the floor's really thin, or if you have, like, a... like a place that you can clearly drop down through, but like, or you can see below, but you can't drop down. Zombie Wario will allow you to essentially melt through that. It's kind of gross. Like, he's gross looking. Crazy Wario, I find completely useless. But I'm sure he has his perks and benefits. Let me see here real quick, because there's a, let me see if I can get like a better description of all of his power-ups. But each power-up I thought was like super fun and just super interesting in general to use or to play with. So like one I didn't mention was the Ball Knee Naru, but that was the for the boss fight with Dunk. Bouncy Wario, he looks like a spring, and it happens when you get hit by an ape's mallet. Wario transforms into a spring-like creature and bounces around, which can also be used to reach higher levels. But the effect will wear off after a while. Some of these effects don't wear off ever, and you have to find like the cure for them on the screen. So like Zombie Wario, you have to find sunlight, I believe, or like some type of light source.
It's really neat how they integrated all that stuff. And I also like, too, that they kind of, you know, adopted some of that from the Kirby games. You know, how he would, but in a different way, where Kirby would have to eat the enemies in order to become, or to adopt that power.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a, you're right, it is like a interesting way of essentially doing that, but those enemies don't actually have the power. It's like the enemies that give, for example, like Crazy Wario, wow, even on the wiki it says, a useless condition that is evoked by ball-throwing penguins. And that's in the English version. In this state, Wario will stumble around and controlling is much harder. With the player pressing the B button, Wario will exhale a cloud of poisonous gas. Touching water will restore his senses. In the Japanese version, it's dubbed as inebriated. But since, you know, in the American localization, they didn't want to
have any alcohol references.
Bubble Wario is pretty annoying, like we mentioned. It makes you, like, float up. Fat Wario, basically, there's an enemy on the screen that's a cook, and it'll fling a cake at you or fling some food at you, and then he'll turn fat, and all his jumping skills will decrease massively. While being a beast, an enemy that comes in contact with Wario will be instantly defeated. The effect wears off after Wario moves around enough. So he literally has to burn off the calories to get rid of Fat Wario. Flat Wario, self-explanatory. He gets mashed by a mallet of a hammer and turns flat, and you can actually crawl under stuff that way. It's kind of cool.
It is pretty neat how they utilize that. The other thing is cool, too, is that, I mean, if we're segueing off into something else, but I like how if you collect the picture tiles, and if you, like, get all of them, you can unlock, like, certain mini-games.
Is there a golf mini game or something like that?
Well, I know that there's like a Simon Says type one, and then there's Flagman, like from the old Game & Watch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of okay. So we touched on it a little bit, but at the end of each level, there's a mini game where you're seeing a set of 9 tiles, and there's a number hidden on those tiles, and essentially you can spend 50 coins, or I think it's 50 coins, every time you want to flip over a tile. And if you guess the number if you guess the number correctly that's hidden underneath those tiles, then you get the picture piece that you were talking about, Casey.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. Like, I beat the game, and if you beat the game just the standard way, you only get half the puzzle pieces. That's it. So you actually have to go back to get everything. Mm-hmm. And the way it works, like I said, you have to spend 50 coins a piece, which, as we know, Wario loves money, and so it's a very precious resource for him. So you have to be careful. You have to work like intelligently. So, for example, if I see something. So, like I said, it's a 3x3 grid, so 9 total squares. If I spend like 50 coins, they give you the first block for free. So, but if I spend another 50 coins and I see the entire left side is completely blank, there's nothing in there, that narrows down which numbers it could be, because only one literally, I believe only the number one will appear on the right hand, like that. Every other number branches off into the left side of the grid there. So you would have to compare what you have currently showing up on your screen to the number options are down below.
Mm-hmm.
And by comparing them, you could then see, like, all right, what are the odds of it being a 4 versus an 8 or versus a 6? And my only complaint with it is that too many of the numbers, I mean, the game itself I don't have an issue with, but, like, since it's 50 coins to flip over another tile, I have an issue with that number only because...
Yeah.
Fives, twos, hell, even eights, nines, and sixes, they are impossible to spot without spending at least like a grand.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. It's kind of weird how they made it out to be that way.
And so if they were only like 10 or 20 coins instead of 50, I think I'd be a lot more okay with it, because I don't know how you could really change the look of the numbers to make it look more distinct. Because of the way they were designed, but if they lowered the price of it, I think that would be a little bit more fair. Mm-hmm. That was my only real complaint with that mini game. But yeah, so you would play that, and if you guess the right number, you get a little puzzle piece. Not a puzzle piece, but like a tile piece. And then if you got all the tile pieces, it would make an image. And so you're telling me if you get all those tile pieces, and it unlocks more mini games for you?
Yeah, so looking at the wiki here, it says, an enemy-themed Simon Says minigame based on the Game & Watch game Flagman can be unlocked by collecting all the picture tiles.
Okay, that's kind of cool. I love game, once again, adding into that game to where, adding into what we were saying before, how the game rewards you with more gameplay. It gives you more, like, if you explore the entirety of the game, you get a new minigame. And you also get an entire, like, Game & Watch game, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Some of the other power-ups I didn't get to talk about, you also have Frozen Wario, which happens when he's hit by a snowman's chilling breath. It causes him to be covered with ice and slides backwards. There's Hot Mario, which is when he gets lit on fire. You can actually use that to, like, I think you have to light a couple things on fire. And after a while, the flames will spread over his whole body, transforming into a wandering fireball. In this state, he can break certain blocks. The condition ends when Wario touches water or is burned to ash. I did not know Wario could be burned to ash because I never let him get that far, but that's kind of terrifying. Puffy Wario is the one that I mentioned before, how like a bee will sting you and
just
kind of
blows
like,
up and just blows floats. Up and floats.
I hate that. Tiny Wario was in the last game. And then we already talked about Zombie Wario. Yeah, so that's all the different power-ups. And this game, I loved the richness of it. Like, I thought the puzzle solving was super interesting. There's a lot of times where I love the fact that you have to forcibly get hit by an enemy in order to figure out what to do next for a puzzle. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really cool design choice that the developers made, because you still don't really see that all that often. Like, Kirby... You take the enemy's powers, but you also kill them in the process. This, you actually have to actively take damage. Like, it's kind of just laying more into the narrative that Wario is just kind of like a derp.
Yeah. You know?
Like, he very clearly is not all that skilled, but at the same time, he's a brute.
Exactly.
And that's kind of like, even in like Smash Brothers, that's how he kind of is portrayed. He's just this brute force of a character. There's no subtlety to him. No sleight of hand. It's just straightforward.
They did a real good transition taking him from the Wario Land games and putting him in the Smash and utilizing those types of
attacks.
Have
you ever played any of the WarioWare games? I have not, and I've heard nothing but good things.
The only other Wario Land game that I've... Is it considered? I think it is. Shake It?
Yeah, Wario Land Shake
It. That was good.
I think that's the last Wario Land game, actually, because then after that it's WarioWare, where it's like, those are interesting because I would love to do an episode on them as a whole. I don't think, I mean, I guess I could talk about every single minigame in each one, but I don't know if that would be interesting. Listeners, if you think that would be interesting, let me know. I don't know. I'd love to try out those games, but it would be I don't know if it'd be boring to talk about just every single minigame and kind of describing it and talking about like the interesting design choices of it. But WarioWare in general is an interesting idea to me because it's a game of minigames, but the minigames are bite-sized. They're not like, they're not even like Mario Party mini games. They're like 2 to 5 second mini games where they give you an objective. You have to figure out that objective quickly and then do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not competitive like Mario Party. I mean, I guess it could be, but I just found that interesting. And what was cool is on the Wii, you could actually make your own WarioWare levels and stuff like that. Which I thought was a really cool
thing
that they did.
They did a really, really good job with doing that. And
I know there's a WarioWare game that came out somewhat recently, right? Are you a fan of minigame games? I know that's kind of off topic.
Not really. I mean,
I'm with you.
I mean, there's nothing bad about it. It's just not really for me. Like, I can have one. I don't need, like, the Mario Party games. They're fun, but I can only maybe collect one or two of them. I don't think.
Controversial opinion. I think Mario Party games are overrated.
Yeah.
Everyone loves them so much, and I wish I did, because I like that it's not even just a collection of minigames. They actually have a framing device of the board game that it's, you know, you're playing through this board, and every time you land on a square, at the end of every player's turn, you do a collective mini game. So like, there's a good framing device. Like, for a game that's just a collection of mini games, it's so well done. It's the best collection of mini games like you're going to see. But I just don't enjoy games that are collections of mini games. Like I have the same issue with I shouldn't say the same issue, but a similar issue with like Scribblenauts, mm-hmm. where like, I will say Scribblenauts is more puzzle solving than actual like mini games, though. But it's just a collection of random things, and there's not a through line. Now, to be fair, I've not beaten Scribblenauts, so I could be very wrong with it. But that's also more of a puzzle game, so I guess it's not that apt of a comparison. But like, I used to play on the N64. There was a game I used to play called the Rugrats Scavenger Hunt.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's a game. I also played, no game was surprisingly good. There's a Winnie the Pooh party game for the PS1.
Do you remember what it was called?
No.
Because I have one for an N64 that I got at a thrift store just to put on my shelf. It's called Tigger's Honey Hunt. I'm pretty sure that's an adventure type.
That might be it. Really? Hold on. Let me see if I can look it up. I see it. In search of the treasure, Pooh's party game. In search of the treasure, and that game had some like bullshit. Let me tell you, there was some bullshit in that game. Pooh is not stuffed with fluff. Stuffed with some bullshit. All right. There is some stuff in there that I just remember some of the mini games, like the AI was just so broken.
Yeah.
It was obnoxious. But I've never been a fan of party games, though. At some point for Mario Month, they're going to have to do the Mario Party games. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's true. We're going to have someone who can
talk about
that. Yeah.
All right. We might have to bring it. We might have to bring in a round or whatever that,
you've had them on
a ringer.
Before.
Have I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who is it then?
Grindel. It's Tim.
Oh, Tim? Okay.
Tam Randall.
Tim.
Grindel's son.
Okay. So, yeah. So, Tim, for those who remember, he was on the episode Wall Street Kid for my 40, 40,
42. Yeah.
He came to the recording
wearing a suit.
Wearing his Wall Street Kid suit.
I knew
it.
I knew he would do that.
He came, prepared.
Yeah. That's Tim.
That's Tam Timmy. Tim Tammer.
Rim Tundle.
But no, I don't mind mini games and games to kind of get back to Wario Land 2. I like games that like Final Fantasy VII, we were talking about it off mic a little bit. Tons of mini games in that game, but it's not the core focus of the game, so I'm a little bit more forgiving with it. Though that game has some moments where there's a lot of mini game esque stuff in it that's unnecessary. I actually, whenever I play that game, I forget how many mini games are built into it. Well, I'll tell you more about it off mic, but this I actually don't. I like how the mini games are very used very sparingly, and even this, like, you get more. Like we were saying, if you complete that whole collection of tiles, you get more mini games at the end. I don't think that's actually awful. I think in Wario Land 3, the final thing is a golf minigame, I think, when I was doing research for it. We'll talk about that, I guess, when we do our Wario Land episode. Wario Land 3, excuse me. But, yeah, so I don't know. Is there anything else that you have to say about Wario Land 2? There's the picture panel and the number matching game. There is also the treasure matching game, or there's just a regular matching game where you just, you know, you have to match all the different tiles together. There's a lot of chapters. Like, the regular chapters, there is 5 regular chapters to the game. There's a total of 20 levels if you beat the game straight through. But there's additional chapters, like, excuse me, there's additional chapters that you can get otherwise, you know, like invade Wario's castle or go to the cellar or ruins at the bottom of the sea. Like, there's a lot of different things that you can do, that you can, like, branching paths that you can take. So I think that's an overview of it.
Yeah.
Lots of branching paths, lots of, like, it rewards you for exploration with more gameplay. And if you fully explore the game to its entirety, get everything, then you're rewarded with more mini games, which is kind of a cool thing. And then you collect a lot of coins, because who doesn't like money?
Yeah, exactly.
What are your final thoughts on Wario Land 2?
I mean, there really wasn't anything else that I had to include, but I just really enjoyed the game a lot. I really enjoyed the music. It's different. It embellishes on the first one. I like how it's definitely more Wario centered. I mean, not like the first one wasn't, but they, like I said before, they got rid of the whole Mario Land. So now this is his own story. This is what he needs to do. Just like the first one, it definitely a must-own game for Game Boy players and collectors. And this was actually the last one that I beat. I only beat the first two. I haven't beaten the others, so I got to get on that.
Same. I have to beat 3 and 4. Like I said in the first Wario Land episode, we actually have a copy of 3, and it just isn't functioning at the moment, which sucks. But
yeah, we believe it's a battery issue. Just it works, it just doesn't save.
Yeah, it's really and because it's not saving, it won't load the first level.
Yeah,
it was just frustrating. But we're gonna look into that. Either way, I did look into it on emulator, and I'm doing research independent of that. But yeah, I think that's a good place to let off on this episode. So, Casey, cool. Is there anything you would like to? I mean, I ask you this every time. What's your social media stuff again?
Yeah, we can just. I'll just give you my Instagram. It's TK Kazuya Kane. That's TK _ KAZUYA KAN as in November E. As previously mentioned on the other episodes, it's basically just my video game collection, Super Mario memorabilia, all sorts of stuff like that. So if that is something that interests you, by all means, take a look.
And as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also reach out to me, StillLoadingContact @gmail.com. If you would like to support the show, there's a couple ways you could do that. You can give the show a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever casting app that you use. By doing that, it helps raise awareness for the show and gets more... It helps people find the show through all the different algorithms on those sites and on those apps. You can also support the show by going to the Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even by just giving $1 a month will help me grow the show more. And if you'd like to help the show grow, check it out over there. And I believe, I didn't do it in the last episode, but I do this a lot. The podcast network I'm a part of. You can check out podbeardnetwork.com for all the great shows on the Podbeard Network. And I believe that should do it then. So, Casey, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to the next episode.
And I will see you all next time.